Thank you, Jerry, and just an incredible night tonight. One of the ugliest baseball games you're ever going to see, but the Blue Jays win it beautifully by beating David Robertson, handing him his first blown save as a Chicago White Sox, and Josh Donaldson with his second walk-off home run of the year. The last one was a 10th inning shot against the Atlanta Braves. The Blue Jays won that game 6-5. Tonight they win 10-9. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. They're in the bottom of the ninth in Tampa, and the Rays have brought the tying run to the plate against Fernando Rodney with nobody out. If Seattle holds on, the Blue Jays will be three games out of first place in the American League East at 22-26. If the Rays come back and win this, the Jays will be 3.5 games out here on May 26th, amazingly, after the season has gone the way it's gone. Three blown saves in this game, two of them for the Blue Jays, one each for Aaron Loop and Liam Hendricks. The Jays come back, get up off the mat, and for the first time this season, win a game that they were trailing going into the bottom of the ninth, and they did it against an elite, elite, elite closer, trailing by two. And we didn't mention him, but he deserves a mention nonetheless. Josh Toley, 3-for-4 tonight, raises his batting average 116 points and scores three runs, starts that ninth inning with a single, his second hit of the ball game with two strikes on him. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. Let's go to the phones. Joe in Mississauga listening to our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. You're going to be the leadoff man on Blue Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mike. Up until about, I guess, 10 minutes ago, I thought that was the worst game I saw all season.
It still might have been.
Oh, it was terribly, terrible defensive game. It just was ugly all around, but great, great win. It's fun. And if anybody out there thinks we're out of it because we're four games out, or the Jays are four games under 500.
Right.
There is no reason why they can't win 3.5 or four games more than Tampa all season. I really think that's very possible. I have a question for you, though. This late into a season, and I know it's still early, have you ever seen a team with the highest run differential in a division be in last place?
I have to tell you, I really wasn't paying attention to run differential until a few years ago, and I don't think I ever looked at it to that extent. I'm sure it's happened, but it's weird. There's no question that it's weird. The Blue Jays, yeah, have the best run differential in the American League East. They're in last place, but again, they're only three games out, so it's not like there's a huge spread. I'm sure that there's been a team that's had the best record, the best run differential in a division be three games out of first place in that division. But it is definitely weird, no question about it, and it's probably going to fix itself if the bullpen outside of tonight continues to pitch the way it has over the last week or so. But tonight was another rough game for the Blue Jays bullpen, no question about it, and that's one of the reasons that despite that run differential, they are where they are.
Yeah. I'm going tomorrow. Can't wait for it. It'll be my maybe 15th or 16th game of the season. I don't even know if they've played that much so far, but I went to the whole Seattle series. It'll be fun. That's
tomorrow
for sure.
Will be their 25th home game of the season. So
yeah,
maybe.
I've been to quite a bit. I've got one of those passes. So,
all right.
Lots of fun.
Remember, it's a day game.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to figure out a way to get there without having to drive in. So.
All right, cool. Thanks for the call. Evan Longoria just hit a two-run double off of Fernando Rodney, so the Rays have cut the Mariners' lead to 6-5. It's May 26th. There's no point in scoreboard watching, but it's a little bit fun. Tampa Bay has runners at second and third and nobody out, so this looks like this could be an epic blown save for Fernando Rodney, who came into this game with a three-run lead in the bottom of the ninth inning. And if the Rays do come back and win, they would move to... Well, the Blue Jays would then be 3.5 games out of first place. There have already been four walk-offs tonight. And Josh Donaldson's is just the latest one. Remember, by the way, and the reason I reminded Joe, tomorrow's a day game. On your pocket schedule, it says 7:07. But the time of the game had to be moved to the afternoon because the White Sox are going to Baltimore next, and they're playing a doubleheader on Thursday to make up for those two games that were postponed in Baltimore because of the civil unrest there last month. So the game has been changed to a day game. We are on the air on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, at 12 noon Eastern Time, and we will have a writer's roundtable to take you into the ball game. And our network broadcast begins at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. The Blue Jays and the White Sox, Marco Estrada and Jeff Samardzija. The Jays trying for the sweep. And remember, day game tomorrow. Says 7 on your schedule, but it is a 12:37 first pitch. Get to more of your calls in a second, but first, let's listen in on the skipper, John Gibbons. As the Blue Jays beat the White Sox 10-9 on a three-run homer by Josh Donaldson in the bottom of the ninth. Here's Gibby.
Magic. How many times have I talked about magic?
Gibby, do you think some players just rise up and live for that moment like Josh?
You know, it's so hard to do. It's so hard to come through and walk off hits. I mean, those are rare. But, you know, I think some guys, you know, thrive for that moment. And he's got that mindset. You know, he's and he's one of those guys, yeah, I think he wants to be the guy, the hero, and he's done it many a times, you know. And it's hard to do. I mean, pressure situations in baseball, ability to come through, and you don't do it all the time, but it is what separates a lot of guys, you know. And some guys get the reputation as clutch players, you know. What is clutch? I don't know. But, yeah, he's got a different mentality. He wants to be up with a game on the line. He wants to ground ball with a game on the line. That's just the way he functions. You can hear it. I mean, I say, how do I know that? You're just talking to him and hearing him talk, whether you're down in a game or this. He just keeps pounding, you know. He's for nine innings or whatever it is, he's very intense and confident.
John, during the poor stretch you guys had earlier, you kept saying, you know, this team's playing good baseball. This was a game where it wasn't the greatest defensively, but you still ended up pulling it out. Are these the games that, you know, you can see the tide is turning because – you're finding ways to win games that maybe you don't play your best in?
Well, I mean, that game, it was looking a little bleak. You know, Robertson's coming in, you know, who's always been tough in his Yankee days on us and, you know, was having a great year. And, of course, totally the big hit, then Reyes, and then, you know, of course, the walk-off. Yeah, it was one of those games. Yeah, we didn't play great defense. I mean, I think there's maybe a chance to score, you know, I mean, turn four double plays. We came up empty on all of them. And, you know, that put our backs against the wall. Eventually, you know, they got two of us there. So that's what makes winning this one that much or extra special because, you know, it wasn't our typical game. So typical game lately. Let me clarify that.
John, what was your take on that Batista double? I think in the third inning it looked like they called Danks for a balk and play continues.
They holler balk. So, you know, the ball's live. You know, the hitter gets a free swing at it. Now, if he doesn't do anything with it, you know, runners advance and he's still in the box, you know. But if he's something good happens, it stays live. So, yeah, Hosey had a big night, you know. He drove in, I think it was four. What, he had three doubles, I think, maybe. And then combined, you know, you look at Donaldson, him back-to-back. That's a lot of ways what we envisioned.
Anything further? Thank you, Gibby.
I mean, I can't stay here longer. This doesn't happen too often.
John Gibbons, ever the kidder. We have heard every post game pretty much that Gibby's done, and sometimes we've heard him be a little sullen, but tonight, awfully happy. And why wouldn't he be? The Blue Jays beat the Chicago White Sox 10-9. Josh Donaldson brings rain. He goes 4-for-4, a single, a double, two homers. That's 90 feet better than hitting for the cycle. He scores 5 runs. He drives in 4. Including the 3-run shot that ended the ball game, bringing the Blue Jays back from 9-7 down to a 10-1 win. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Back to your calls we go. Carlos is in Kitchener. Hello, Carlos.
Hey, Mike. Ugly win, but, you know, at this point in the season, I'll take it.
There are points in the season that you wouldn't take it?
I just want to know why did they use Asuna in the 7th and Hendricks in the 8th?
Instead of the other way around?
Yeah.
Well, it was the fat part of the lineup in the seventh inning for Osuna. He was facing the 4-5-6 hitters. He's been the most reliable reliever. And then Liam Hendricks has earned a shot to be a late-inning guy. And facing the bottom of the order, that's a good chance to give him that shot. He came into the game with a whip under one, striking out more than a batter per inning, only giving up one home run. So, you know, that's the case where you bring in the better reliever in the bigger situation, even though it's earlier in the game.
Right. And didn't you think Gibby waited too long to bring in Delabar? I mean, after, you know, he scored three runs and he brought in Delabar, right? I would have, you know, after the double play that didn't work out with Abreu, I would have brought in Delabar because it didn't look like Hendricks had it.
Hendricks faced seven hitters. How many hard hit balls did he give up?
I don't know, but...
One. One. The Abreu, he gave up that double to Carlos Sanchez over Donaldson's head that Donaldson jumped and he couldn't come down with. That was the second batter he faced. Then there was a soft line drive that Adam Eaton barely got a piece of. It just got over the infield. Then the infield single by Melky. Then the double play ball. Why should he come out there? He just got a double play ball to get out of the inning. They didn't turn it. He had given up one hard contact, and then he got ground balls out of the next two guys.
Yeah, the result.
There was certainly no way to look at Liam Hendricks and say he just doesn't have it.
So do you think you would still put him out there in a close situation?
I think the next time you give it to Delabar, because Delabar did a good job tonight in that tight situation, I think you got to keep trying until you find something beyond Osuna and Cecil, some guy who's going to take the ball and run with it. Hendricks got his shot tonight. It didn't work out, but he didn't get slammed all over the field or anything like that, so that's at least a good thing.
Yeah. And so I noticed Navarro was playing in Triple-A today.
Yeah, first rehab game today.
So assuming he comes back, I mean, there's a lot of players that are like, you know, pretty much DHs on the Blue Jays. What do you think they do with him? Do you think they kind of showcase him to trade him, or...
I have no idea, and I don't know that we're at that point yet. I mean, he's caught seven innings and been to bat three times. The rehab assignment could be 3 weeks until he's ready to come back, or it could be 3 days. You're right. But I don't think he comes back until Jose Bautista is ready to play the field, A. And two, they'll do with him what they were going to do with him had he stayed healthy. He'll probably catch Mark Burley. He'll be John Gibbons' favorite pinch-hitting option off the bench, and they'll keep their ears open if someone's willing to make a trade, preferably a major league relief pitcher or two, to get Navarro. But
is there any teams that you know that are looking for that have catchers that are injured that need?
Detroit's got
catcher
issues, but they don't have much as far as the bullpen is concerned. That's the one that jumps out the most to me. Baltimore may or may not have catcher issues. Boston certainly has catcher issues. Miami jettisoned Jared Saltalamacchia, but they're certainly not going to add a one-year guy. The Mets are a possibility. The Cubs are a possibility, although they're pretty happy with Miguel Montero. There are a lot of places that might be a landing spot for Navarro, but again, if it was going to be that easy to deal him, they would have done it before the season started. Thanks for the call, Carlos. Let's go to Jesse up in Thornhill, listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Jesse, welcome to Blue Jays Talk after the rain done been brought by Josh Donaldson.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
All right. Go ahead.
Just a question for you. Just expanding on the previous caller. So once Navarro gets back...
Let's not talk about once something happens that hasn't happened yet, because we don't know when it's going to happen, and we don't know what things are going to potentially be very, very different once it's ready to happen.
Fair enough. I just wanted to think of who would potentially become the odd man out. I realize it could be 3 weeks from now, it could be 3 days from now, but...
You would imagine it would be Josh Toley, just as the way it was when the season started.
Even though Josh Toley's the best catcher for R.A. Dickey right now?
He was at the end of spring training too, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's true. Just another quick question for you. Reyes today, tonight, do you look at him as a defensive liability, or would you regard today's game as just an off game? You know, he's only his second or third game back since his injury. How do you look at Reyes' defensive game?
I didn't think he was that bad, to be honest with you. I mean, he's certainly not nearly as good a shortstop as Ryan Goins, and that's fine. We know that. He's a much, much better offensive player, and, you know, we saw that in the bottom of the ninth inning. He got that big double. But he kicked a ball that was kind of squibbed and pool-cued off the end of the bat for that error in the sixth inning. He should have made that play, absolutely, and he will tell you he should have made that play. And I didn't think he messed up that badly on the double play. I just thought that, you know, the runner came in hard. He had to get up and over him and Melky.
And that was a great slide by Eaton, too.
Yeah, the one before there in the sixth inning.
Right.
But that was Goins.
Oh, right. That was Goins. Correct.
Yeah.
No, I was just, you know, I love what he brings to the plate. I love his energy he brings. But past couple of years, it's pretty obvious that he's become sort of a defensive liability in my eyes. But
last year, he was terrible.
Yeah.
This year he has not been terrible. Even before he got hurt, and today he made the nice diving play to save a run on the Melky ground ball in the eighth inning. He's not been terrible, and I'm not ready yet to say that he's not significantly improved defensively over last year, because before he got hurt, it certainly looked like he was.
All right, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Ryan Goins is a better shortstop than Jose Reyes. There's no question about that. Jose Reyes is a better baseball player than Ryan Goins, top to bottom. And you want Jose Reyes in your lineup every day. And you don't want him in left field. The Tampa Bay Rays tied it up, but Fernando Rodney stopped the bleeding and they went to extra innings. And Kyle Seager's done it again. I don't know how many times I can tell you that you can't fight the Seager, but you can't fight the Seager. The Blue Jays can't. Tampa Bay can't. Kyle Seager, right after Nelson Cruz got caught stealing, Seager, who had hit a grand slam in the eighth inning, homers in the tenth to give Seattle the lead back now, 7-6. Over the Tampa Bay Rays. We'll be off the air before the game is over. Quickly, let's go to Julio in Mississauga. Hey, Julio, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me. I just want to say, go Donaldson. MVP, like everybody said tonight. He did it for us tonight, but I have one question for you.
Yeah.
What's the thought process behind not having Osuna pitch more than one inning usually?
I think the thought process is that he's 20 years old. He's coming off of Tommy John surgery. He's a kid who has never really shouldered a big workload in North America. I mean, he's pitched a lot of innings in Mexico, and so you don't have to look at him as somebody who only pitched 40 innings last year, and you can't build off that. But I think you just want to be careful. I think you want to make sure. You know, it's funny. Tonight he pitches the seventh, and he doesn't come out for the eighth, and a lot of people are saying, well, what's the problem? Why couldn't he pitch the eighth inning? And yet, many other nights, it's they're running this kid into the ground. They're going to kill him. What are they doing? Why are they using him so much?
Why couldn't he pitch the eighth inning?
So, you got to turn your radio down. So that's why they're being careful. They're taking care of him. They want to make sure that, you know, he's been their best reliever this year. They want to make sure that they can use him for 6 months. And if that means only using him for an inning at a time for a while, then that's what it means.
That's good. I'm happy to see him on the team. Thanks for having me, I guess.
All right.
Go Jays, go.
Thanks for calling, I guess. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays beat the White Sox 10-9. We'll sneak in one more call out to Winnipeg. Ron, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
Good. You got like a minute and a half.
Okay. The one question I wanted to ask was, I think there was a couple games ago that there was a caller that called up. And, basically, I just want to know, do we have the starting pitching as of right now that can get us to the playoffs? I know we're only three games out, but, you know, just lately, the starting pitching has been better. Do you think we can sustain that? And before you answer, I just want to say I believe I'm the only Winnipegger to come to Toronto last year, first time there to watch the Jays, and I end up winning the 50-50. So I'll end off with that. But answer my question if you could, please.
All right. Congratulations on winning the 50-50. Yes, I think the Blue Jays starting pitching is good enough for this team to be in the playoffs. Do they have a legit ace? No, they don't have a legit ace. There's no Roy Halladay on this team, but they're solid top to bottom. They're all good. And maybe by the end of the year, someone like Aaron Sanchez emerges. Maybe Daniel Norris comes back and is great. I'm sure Norris will be back at some point. I got a lot of faith in his ability second time around to get the job done. You don't need fantastic pitching when you have an offense like this. You just don't. Look at the Cleveland Indians in the mid-90s and for that 6-7-8-year run with Albert Bell and Jim Thome and Roberto Alomar and all those guys. You don't need great starting pitching. You don't. It's great to have. Would you love it? Yes. Do you want it? Absolutely. Are the Blue Jays good enough to win the American League East with the five starters they have now? Yes, they are. They are. Will they win it? Well, that's up to them and everybody else. Thanks for all the calls. Apologies to those of you to whom we could not get, but I want you to hear this. Josh Donaldson, the walk-off hero. 4-for-4 tonight. Single, double, two homers, a walk, 5 runs scored, a homer in the first, a walk-off homer in the ninth, and Barry Davis talked to him right after the game.
Josh, you began this game with a home run. You end this game with a home run. Talk about that at bat and how this team just was never out of it tonight.
It was just one of those matches where it was back and forth.
All right, here we go. I bet that felt just amazing, right?
Yeah, it was great. It's good. Just a good team win tonight. I think not in all areas we played well, but, you know, at the end we were able to stick it out with the offense and pull it out tonight.
Buck Martinez just described this as possibly a season-changing inning. If you guys had lost that game, it would have been a pretty tough way to lose, but instead you come out on top, you've won 3 in a row. That momentum really seems to be turning right now.
Yeah, I mean, we feel good about ourselves, and, you know, the game is a process itself. You know, we've took our lumps this year. Hopefully this will get us back on the right track.
Talk about everyone in the offense, having Jose Reyes back atop the order right now, having Jose Bautista getting healthier, and now it's slowly starting to come back to what this team's supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're getting close. You know, it's one of those things where you just got to keep grinding every day and, let the chips fall where they may.
I know you enjoy hitting at Rogers Center, but how do you like these fans chanting MVP for you?
Everything's great. You know, I'm all about winning, and I'm happy that we won today.
Listen, congratulations. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
All right, Josh Donaldson's going to dry off now.
Yeah, he is. Josh Donaldson and Barry Davis right there and the fans behind chanting MVP. Donaldson with a walk-off 3-run home run. The Blue Jays beat the Chicago White Sox 10-9. It's the Honda Post Game Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Well, that was fun. An ugly game, but the Blue Jays win it. Josh Tolley's 3-for-4 with 3 runs scored and an RBI. Jose Bautista's 3-for-4 with 3 doubles, a career high tying 5 RBIs. And Josh Donaldson. A single, a double, 2 homers, a walk, 5 runs scored, 4 runs batted in. And, of course, the walk-off piece, the 3-run shot off of David Robertson. Blue Jays beat the White Sox 10-9. The Yankees were winners tonight. They beat the Royals 5-1. The Orioles were losers 4-1 to Houston. The Red Sox trail the Minnesota Twins 2-1 in the bottom of the fifth. And the Seattle Mariners have a 7-6 lead on the Tampa Bay Rays in the bottom of the 10th inning. Joe Beimel is out to try to close it out. There's one out. There's nobody on base. If Seattle can hold on to this win, and Kyle Seager, a grand slam in the 8th, and a go-ahead home run in the 10th after Fernando Rodney blows a save in the bottom of the 9th. If Seattle hangs on to win, the Blue Jays, amazingly, will be just 3 games out of first place. They'll try for the sweep tomorrow. We're on at noon Eastern on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, 12:30 across the network. Marco Estrada against Jeff Samardzija. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. Good night.